Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. Today on our program, we're talking about evangelization, and it's kind of a fun topic because it's a word that stirs up a lot of different emotions and connotations. Mainly because there are so many different styles of evangelization. Some are good, some maybe not so good. But the fact of the matter is that in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told to go and make disciples out of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Christians who evangelize are taking the gospel seriously. But unfortunately, personal style can sometimes get in the way of the simplicity of the gospel. So today we're talking with our three teenage guests about what works and what doesn't work in regard to evangelization. So why don't you tell us your name and where you go to church?
I am Gabriel, and I go to St. John Newman in Sunbury.
I'm Anna, and I go to St. Michael's in Worthington.
I'm Kaylee, and I go to St. Bridget's in Dublin.
All right. Tell me what, in your, as you understand it, what is evangelization?
Well, I go to a Catholic school, so we have definitions and everything, so definition.
Give us the dictionary definition of evangelization, Kaylee.
It's spreading the word of God.
Okay. That's a good, simple definition.
Yeah.
Like, that's an easy
it's
one to
simple.
Memorize for
yeah.
a vocab test, right?
Yeah.
Anything to add to that, Anna or Gabriel? Or is that pretty much what it is?
It's pretty much what it is, yeah. Just spreading your faith, the truth.
In your lives, who has been the most effective evangelist and why?
Mm.
Or you can name more than one person. You don't have to choose one.
I would say, for me, my parents, just my family, because I mean, they're the ones that raised me up with my faith and that continue to help me learn more about my faith and help me strive to live out my faith and call me out when I'm doing something that goes against my faith. So, you know, from raising me up in my faith to always being there to evangelize me as I continue to grow in my faith.
Yeah, I would also say my family. But then I didn't really take my faith very seriously. I knew about it, but I didn't take it very seriously until high school. And so I think my youth minister, Dan Dimite, helped me to make it more like my own personal faith instead of the faith of my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think my parents, like my mom, is definitely a huge influence on me. She always, since my dad died when I was younger, she's always been telling me, like, raising me up in the faith and making sure that I live my faith and don't deviate.
Can any of you share about a moment that was particularly profound for you in terms of someone's witness leading you closer to Christ? Let me give you some
hard one.
Possible scenarios.
Yeah.
Maybe if you attended Catholic Youth Summer Camp and heard a great story or, you know, a great witness or saw a powerful skit or had an awesome small group leader or something or a retreat through your church or through your school, or has there been something that really stands out?
We had a retreat at St. John Newman that Courtney Brown did, and that really inspired me. It was 2 days, and we spent the night in the Faith and Family Center on the floor. But then we never really have anybody else come in to lead retreats for the youth group. So that was something different we did at St. John Newman. And when Courtney came in and led the retreat, it really helped me look at my life and the life of my friends and to strive for purity and to strive to be the pure man that God was calling me to be, and also to evangelize my friends in purity. So I think that was a huge time that really helped me look at things in my life and the lives of those around me to help myself and others conquer sin.
And Courtney, I was at that retreat too. And Courtney Brown,
you guys
is,
were there.
Yeah, he's just real. He's just a real dude. Yeah, that's what I really liked about him, is his approach. He was really approachable and really comfortable and really just a dude, as I said so eloquently before. Okay, what about you, Anna or Kaylee? Any moment that was particularly profound for you in terms of somebody else evangelizing or witnessing?
I think my first year at Catholic Youth Summer Camp, so my freshman year, just seeing not anyone in particular, but just everyone on staff and all the counselors, the joy that they had, I think is so rare. And it struck me and made me reflect on my life and realize why I didn't have that joy. So just them being there and being joyful and loving their lives, really drew me closer and made me want to take the next step in finding that joy.
And it's highly concentrated at Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
There's
too.
A lot of joy there.
It's infectious. Yeah. Kaylee, anything to share?
I think the first time that I realized that was when I went to NCYC my freshman year. Just kind of Anna, not just one specific person, but just all 25,000 of your closest friends just being in the moment.
There. And that's National Catholic Youth Conference. Yeah.
It was such a great experience.
Yeah. How about you guys? What is your personal evangelization style? How do you evangelize?
I think just getting to know people and really just talk to them and having deep conversations with them, whether if it's my friends and just striking up a conversation about something, and just really listening. I think a lot of evangelization is listening, because people are really desiring to strive for good, to strive for holiness, or to overcome things in their life. And they just want to express the desire they have, but there's just really no one to talk to about it, or about something they know that they're struggling with that they need to overcome, or something that's hurting them in their life. And if you're just there to talk to them and listen to them, I think that's huge. Especially I've seen that at work, when people in the workplace will just start talking about something and just the things they'll share. People are just desiring for somebody to listen and to give them advice. And somebody that they know has a strong faith, or that's rooted their faith, that they see living out a life where they're striving for holiness.
What about people you don't know? Do you evangelize people you don't know?
I think I try to evangelize more with my life than with my words in those situations. So just like I was saying before, just being joyful, asking them how they're doing, even if they look like they don't want to talk, or smiling at people in the grocery store. Just little things to let them know that you see Christ in them.
Yeah. Speaking of joy, Pope Francis said, we must not look like we've just come from a funeral. There are some Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter. Have you encountered those Christians?
Yeah.
And that's just not appealing. I mean, I think you can get to that point maybe. I don't know. I don't think that's what Christ wants for us, to get to the point where we're Lent without Easter. But
especially as teenagers, it's not
right
appealing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found this fantastic YouTube clip by the Skit Guys. They're these just hilarious Christian guys who just make skits. I mean, I'm sure they do more than that, but as far as I know, they just make skits. But they're very funny. And so there's one on evangelization. So they've named several different types, several different approaches to evangelism, or to evangelization. And they've named each of these types of persons. So the first one we're going to listen to is the strategist.
Most Christians, they are just good for bake sales and potluck dinners. But I'm telling you this right now, it takes a lot of moxie to grab a non-believer by the shirt collar and throw him in the front doors of a church and say, hey, try living out your heathen life in front of a holy God that way. It is like holy water on a vampire. That's divine intervention, my friend.
So throwing an unwilling sinner into church and challenging that person to stare their sin in the face. I guess that's one way to do it, right? Again, I just want to remind our listeners that this is a funny clip from the Skit Guys. They're talking about how not to evangelize, so don't panic. So I don't know. Is that effective evangelization?
No.
Not really.
No. Is there ever a situation in which that might be effective? I mean, I imagine it could be if someone's kind of at rock bottom, I wouldn't go for it as my first choice. I don't think that drastic times maybe call for drastic measures. But in this clip, he started out by saying that most Christians are only good for bake sales and potluck dinners. And he's saying it as a criticism, but let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about using the gifts we have to evangelize. If someone isn't an articulate speaker and a dynamic personality, does that mean he or she can't be an effective evangelist?
No.
Have there been times when you've encountered quiet evangelization that's made an impression on you? Yeah. They're all nodding their heads. You can't see it because it's radio. For me, some of the most influential people are just very humble. Yeah. You know, they would never be loud or be big or be, but their lives inspire me, their quietness. Mm-hmm. And potluck dinners are a great thing, right?
You know? I love potluck dinners.
I'm all over that. So, all right, let's hear about the next type of evangelist. This is, they call this the amplified.
Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is nigh. Come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, sir, it sounds like you're really passionate about Jesus.
I am. And you should also be.
Okay.
Passionate about the Lord.
Sir, if there's...
You need to get sanctified or chicken fried. You need to get with the Lord or drive a Ford.
Sir,
get right or get left.
Get right with the Lord or drive a Ford. I like get right or get left, too. I'm going to use that. So clearly this is I don't want to hear what you have to say. I just want to say my thing. And have you ever encountered this? Someone kind of with their fingers in their ears, la, 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 I'm not listening.
I think with other people, I was actually at one conference sometime and there was some person there that was trying to evangelize to a non-Catholic and to talk to them about the Catholic faith. And they just would not let that person say anything. Like, they would ask them questions, but as soon as the guy started talking to her again, the girl would just interrupt him and go off and say something else. So I think that, I mean, it just went nowhere. Like, you just see that he was not comfortable with it, and she was just making no progress at all.
I think people get caught up in, like, this checklist of when they're trying to evangelize, like, I have to talk about A, B, and C, and, like, do it as quickly as possible because I'm nervous, so then they don't go about it in a very loving way, and so it comes off as like overwhelming.
Have you ever been this person? I don't want to listen. You're challenging me. You're attacking me. Have you ever felt backed into a corner? Like, not really.
No. I don't think I have. Mm-mm.
That's good. You're all very compassionate. Good listeners. Can you share a story about a time when you listened to someone and it made a difference? Or you don't have to share the story, but have you been in that situation?
Yeah.
Or when someone listened to you and it made a difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just like how I was saying at work, just having a conversation with people. So we'd be in back booth working together. One person would be taking orders through drive-thru and the other person taking money. And in between orders, you just have a ton of time to talk. And me and a girl started talking, and she just like started pouring her heart out to me about all these things that had been going on in her life. And like, it was a perfect time that like I could have evangelized, because she's like really doesn't know if she believes in God or not, doesn't know what to believe. But I think right then I was just being called just to be there to listen to her and just to let her talk to me. And then at the end, you know, you meet everybody where they're at. And at the end, she just poured all this stuff out to me. I didn't want to throw a bunch of stuff about God back at her because that wasn't the right time. So I just said a couple of quick things at the end about how, you know, what my faith has done in my life and how much God loves her and is desiring for her and knocking at the door of her heart, and how much I think it could impact her life, how much believing God and having a faith could do for her. But I think like what I was really called to do at that time to evangelize to her was just to be there to listen and to have sympathy for her.
And that takes wisdom to recognize I'm just supposed to shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we do feel like, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Anna, we have a checklist of things that I want to make sure you hear.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people are just wanting to be heard.
Yeah.
Okay, we are breaking down a YouTube clip of the Skit Guys. They're talking about different types of evangelists. So the next one we have is the liar.
I share my faith. Okay, that's a lie. People don't even know I'm a Christian. I want to. Again, another lie. I hardly shower, much less have the will to do anything else. Okay, now if there was pizza and ice cream every time there was faith sharing, I'd do it. That's a lie. I'm lactose intolerant. Again, another lie. I'm just too cheap to buy dairy. Bottom line, sharing my faith makes me sweaty.
Okay. I haven't actually ever encountered this particular type of person, have you?
No, not really.
But I think the most important line for purposes of our discussion is sharing my faith makes me sweaty. Because this is true for a lot of people, in particular, a lot of Catholics, for some reason. We aren't comfortable sharing our faith. What are some of the reasons people feel so uncomfortable about sharing our faith in your experience?
I think we're afraid of what the other person's going to think. We feel like we're going to be forcing something on them, and we don't want to do that. We're afraid to do that, or how they're going to react if we do.
Any other reasons? I think a lot of times we don't feel that we know our faith well mm-hmm. enough
yeah.
to articulate it. And we live in a culture where we're not encouraged or invited
yeah.
to share our yeah. faith. So,
yeah, you get like you put if you like share your faith or put your opinion out there, people always come back at you and they always like fire things at you. So then you're like, oh gosh, and then you're like afraid to do it again.
Especially mm-hmm. if your opinion is a conservative or you know something yeah. that's got moral value, you know, or yeah, I don't know. For some reason, we're just not allowed to do that. So.
I think to go along with the liar, though, the clip we just heard, like a lot of that is like trying to evangelize about your faith and to say things about your faith, but then not to live that out. I think that's, I mean, I see that a lot in Christians nowadays. Like they'll try to say they're a really good Christian and to try to spread their Christian faith, but then they don't live that out or they're living in sin. So just completely, you know.
So like, do you think people are thinking, I don't want to be accountable for what I'm teaching, so I'm just not going to say anything? Is that yeah. what you mean?
Well, like, no, I mean like other people seeing them, like it doesn't make their evangelization credible because
oh,
they,
so they
see,
may be evangelizing yeah.
so
but they're not
they're trying to mm-hmm. and they're trying to spread their faith, but then they're not living it out on their own, and mm-hmm. it's not like they're living in sin and they're not trying to change that either, but they're trying to spread about how everyone else should be Christian and when they're really not living a Christian life. Or even with myself, you know, if you try to like talk to people about one sin, like how they need to overcome that or evangelize to them about that, but then you're committing a different sin yourself, you know, that's just as bad as theirs and it doesn't really work.
And along those same lines, we're just all so quick to judge
yeah.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We have one more segment from the clip. They don't name this guy, but this is the guy who tries to talk over everyone's head.
Tip number 95, use big church words like transubstantiation. Heathens get confused easily, and the more confused they are, the more ashamed they are. The more ashamed they are, the more apt they are to make a decision for Jesus Christ.
So I think the general message here is that a lot of people in trying to evangelize talk over people's heads or put themselves in a superior position. My sister, in fact, recently called me out on this. She said, you sound so condescending. You should hear yourself. And I was kind of horrified because it wasn't my intention at all. Yeah. But it was coming out of my mouth. And I was really glad that she called me on that. But sometimes I think people are intending to be condescending. It's mm-hmm. just sort of, you know, they put themselves in a superior position. But sometimes people just, they know the language of faith. They speak the language of religion. You know, they use it every day in conversation. But when they're talking to somebody who doesn't communicate in that language, it can be really off-putting. Have you been in a situation where someone was just talking over your head in terms of faith, and it just isn't appealing to you because you feel like they're being condescending?
Yeah, I think it just makes you feel like inadequate. So then you're like, I'm not even going to listen to you.
Has anybody ever accused you of doing that? Maybe not to your face.
No. Yeah, not to my face.
Maybe they just avoid you.
I have heard a lot of I have heard a lot of non-Christians say that, though, that when they look at Christians or they hear Christians trying to share their faith, that they just sound really judgmental and really hypocritical, you know, and like they're acting like they're better than
I think that's the
other
most
people.
Mm-hmm. Complaint.
Why is that? Is that what's actually happening, or is there something else going on?
I think it is happening a little bit, but I think it's also a lot about how the person feels. You know, how they're just kind of putting that in their head so it makes them feel better because they know that they, you know, they don't have like a fullness of the life that a Christian does. You know, they don't have, they're not striving for the same thing that we have as Christians. That, you know, there's something greater than us, that we're striving for God and to live lives of virtue. And, but I think there's also lots of Christians that do give that vibe off when they're trying to evangelize, that they're better than other people.
In contrast to that, Pope Francis is the great evangelist right now, isn't he? Why? What's so appealing about him? What do you think?
He's just so humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So humility is an effective form of evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else about his style that you think is appealing to people? I think it's his lack of willingness to judge other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And going back on everything we've sort of talked about, people don't want to feel judged. People don't want to feel like you're condescending. People don't want to feel like you think you're better than they are, you know. He's such a great model for how we can just witness, you know, just live our faith. Anna, you were talking about just living your faith. And along those lines, is evangelization something we do, in air quotes, something we do when we get around to it or when we have a chance? Or is it a way, it's just a way we live? What do you think?
I think it's more effective when it's just a way you live.
Yeah.
Because you never know who God needs you to reach in any moment, whether you're standing in the grocery store checking out or whether you're having a conversation about a religious topic. You might have more effect on the sad girl in the grocery store just because you smiled at her than you did having this deep philosophical debate. So I think just like approaching your entire life as an opportunity to evangelize. You never know how effective that can be and how many different ways and times that the Lord can use you.
All right. So we have the evangelizer or the evangelist and the one who needs to be evangelized. Do we have to be one or the other? Or can we be both?
I think we're always both.
Yeah.
I think because we're always inspired by other people. Or we have someone call us out on something, or we're growing our faith from just hearing something else that someone says or seeing the way that someone else lives their life. And then we want to strive for that also. But then as we strive for that, then we can go out and we can evangelize to others and inspire others by the way we live, or inspire others by conversations we have with them. So I think it's constantly through our whole lives, you're constantly being evangelized too, and then also evangelizing others.
Do we ever get to the point when we're fully evangelized?
In heaven.
Yeah.
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 Good answer, Anna. Well, I, for one, feel grateful that the three of you are out there evangelizing. Thank you for sharing your faith and being so open and willing to talk about the things that inspire you and the things that move you closer to Christ. And for helping others get there as well. Parents, as usual, we invite your input. We'd love to know what questions you have, what topics you'd like for us to discuss on the show. So please shoot us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. That's stgabrielradio.com. We'd like to close now in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. And Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be here together today. We give you thanks for our listeners, and we hope and pray, Lord, that our conversation here today can inspire and can touch hearts and can lead people closer to you. Lord, we ask that our lives just be a constant stream of evangelization, that everything we do, everything we say may just glorify you and show others the joy that we have in you so that they can draw nearer to you. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have been listening to Raising Saints on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we were joined today by Kaylee, Anna, and Gabriel. They were willing to share their thoughts on evangelization. We were also joined by the Skit Guys. Googled them. They're lots of fun. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to next time. But until then, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. There